So let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so grateful that you have made us all in your own image, giving us gifts and talents with which to serve you. Bless the words that I will speak this morning. Less of me and more of you, Lord. Use me as a vessel and a light for your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm Doreen Matsumoto Allen, and I want to say thank you to Pastor Paul and Pastor Ainsley for allowing me to share the word today, especially on Memorial Day. And when I was sitting up here with my friends who are veterans, it just makes me so comfortable because I feel like I'm at home. I feel like I'm around people that understand me and I understand them. My ministry is for veterans. I enjoy helping them and being part of their lives. And Memorial Day has come to mean the beginning of summer to most, a time for picnics and barbecues and a holiday to gather around with the family. That happiness and freedom came with a sacrifice made by men and women who fought and died for our freedom. They fought with honor and respect. They willingly gave their lives and fought to protect our country on foreign lands and open seas. They paid the ultimate price. Their sacrifice left wives, widows, children without parents or as an orphan, and parents alone. Some of those who paid the ultimate price were never found or identified and lie somewhere in an unmarked grave. And Melissa Brunick and Amanda Brunick put together the table that would be at most American legions to honor the POWs. Some of those who paid the ultimate price never found. Can you believe that? The sorrow that their family has to carry from generation to generation, never knowing what happened to their loved one. Today, I will be sharing a story from the Bible from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 to 25 in the New King James Version. And our first point is going to the Lord first. So verse 8 says, "So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?'" Immediately, you should start thinking, this is a story about war. Those are the questions these brave men and women, Maggie's right there in the audience too, served in the Marine Corps, face every day on the battlefield. I believe we ask these questions too in our own personal battles. Let's keep reading. "And he," God, "answered him." I love when God answers. Yes. "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all." Everyone say all.
All.
Yeah. We need to realize this is for us too. We have battles we are facing. We have battles we face every day, but are we going to the Lord for those answers? You know, I used to joke around when I was in ministry school with my friends, Gina and Susanna, and I used to say, I'm trying to get over my Moses complex because I didn't really want to go to God. I just wanted to go and smite somebody, and that would be the end of it. But, you know, as God chipped away at my heart, he showed me that I need to just come straight to him. In fact, in Romans 8:31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?"
Amen.
Let's keep reading on verse 9. "So David went, he and 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind." Once I read that the first time, I thought, left behind? Why? Immediately it should come to your mind, why? Verse 10 says, "But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor." Some of us are weary. Those veterans that came back from different services, different branches, and they're weary and they need rest too. Point two is, who do you belong to? Looking at scripture, my mind always thinks of puzzle pieces. I always think, where have I heard this before in the Bible? So my brain can go to Old Testament to New Testament. It's like a treasure hunt. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread and he ate and let him drink water. 12 says, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisin. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread or drunk no water for 3 days and three nights. Where have we heard that before? Then David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. You can imagine when someone is a POW, they are not treated like David is treating this man. The answers from a POW would only be name, rank, and serial number. And we have seen many movies of how they've treated POWs. But David shows this example, and it is an example of Jesus. In Matthew 25, 35, it says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Verse 14 says, we made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites in the territory which belongs to Judah and the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. So he's telling David what they had already done. He fought alongside his master, and his master left him behind to die. Point three says, he asks the Egyptian to take him and show him. So verse 15 says, and David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? Do you notice something about David? He doesn't threaten him. He asks, can you? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to the troops. This Egyptian was afraid. He was afraid of the country he was already serving, the master he was serving. He had fear that he would not live. Most of you don't know that in Afghanistan, there was many people that joined the United States forces to take them down to where the battle was, to show them where the bad guys were. One person in particular that I think of that we know personally, me and Amanda that we work with, is a man named Nemo. And he had his leg shot off, 7 bullets to the body. And he wasn't even serving our country as a soldier, but as a guide, just as this man. Do you remember in verse 8, when I just read it, God told David he would give him a way. Even when we think there is no way, God is the way maker. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Remember the encounter of Jesus and the woman at the well? Well, Jesus asked her for what? Water, yes. But as you read the story in John 4:39, and we look at it closely, it says, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. The results of kindness produces believers. Yes. I'll tell you, David probably would have never thought he would be standing up here in a church speaking scripture, praying, ever. When I met David, we met at American Legion, and he said, "Don't talk to me about religion." And I said, "I ain't going to talk to you about religion, brother. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus." And look at him now. I'm so proud. That's why I said I sat in between them, and I'm thinking, oh, how proud I am of them. Mary, who's sitting up here, her husband Charles, he was the first veteran I was able to baptize. He was so quiet. He didn't want to talk about Vietnam, and he didn't want to say anything. But as I just kept being kind, he opened up. Howard, at 95 years old, was baptized. 95. Got in the tank, holding him under as long as I could, and he still survived. Let's keep reading. Verse 16 says, "And when he had brought him down, there they were." There they were. He's like, here they are. "Spread out all over the land, they were eating and drinking and dancing." They were having a good time. They thought, hey, I got this. They had a Moses complex too. "Because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah." 17 says, "Then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped until 400 young men who rode on camels and fled." They bailed on their guy. They were like, see you later. I'm not getting killed. 18 says, "So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives." I don't know how he can handle two wives. Men can only usually handle one. Verse 19, but that's another story. We'll talk about that later. "And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all." Everybody say it again. All. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those over livestock and said, "This is David's spoil." Verse 22 says, "Now David came to the 200 men." You remember them? Do you remember the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at Brook Besor? So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. He wasn't a person that was just like, I did this all for myself. No, he greeted them. He was excited to see them. But there's always a twist in the story, right? Point 4 says, watch out for the enemy. Let me tell you, everybody, I brought that up on my last sermon. You got to watch out for this guy because he's got plans to ruin everything. In 1 Samuel 30:22, it says, "Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, 'Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and child, that they may lead them away and depart.'" Did you hear that? The enemy is always trying to kill your victory or kill your joy, trying to cause trouble and stirring everything up, especially when everything is going good. Have any of you ever had that happen? Everything's going good, and then somebody off of the sidelines has to throw a monkey wrench. I call them the pot stirrers. He, the enemy, wanted to divide and conquer. The enemy tried to do this many times, but I specifically remember when the Vietnam veterans came home from war. They were not treated with respect or honor. They were spit on. I just want you to imagine that. If somebody spit on you today, what's your first reaction? You turn into Moses and smite them, right? Well, they were not treated with respect or honor. How are you treating the veterans now? A lot of veterans that I speak to, they'll say, you know, we appreciate when somebody says, thank you for your service. But you know what they really need? It's great to say thank you, but take some time to talk to them. I took time to talk to every veteran that I run into. I want to know their story. I want them to know that I'm here for them, that I can help them in some way. And a lot of veterans are older, like Howard. If you have a neighbor that's older, he probably served in the war, because it was important to them in World War II in Korea to sign up. They didn't sit back on the sidelines. They joined. In Vietnam, they were drafted, no choice. Some of them signed up anyway. So make sure to take some time for them. In fact, it made me think of a couple verses where the enemy is using an individual like he's using these wicked and worthless men that thought, "This I did all the work. Those guys don't deserve it." Well, guess what? In Job 2:9, it says, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.'" Or how about this one? You remember this? Luke 23:21. "But they keep shouting, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" Who are they talking about? Jesus, right? So point five, have you recognized the victory in your life? 23 says, "But David said, 'My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us.'" The Lord gives us everything. "Who has preserved us and delivered us into our hands, the troops that came against us." The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Are you a man or a woman after God's heart? Do you recognize your victory? Jesus conquered death for you people. Isn't that great? 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." These words, the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say that. Thank you, Jesus. Our friends that are watching online, they're watching all around the country, probably all around the world. People pop in now to see what we're talking about. When I talk to you about the Afghanistanis, guess what? A lot of them are coming to the Lord now because they're seeing visions of Jesus. They're hearing Jesus in their mind. That's what we need to pray for. Because like them, they're like this Egyptian. They don't know any better. They're just doing what their master's telling them to do. Let's finish reading this story. In 24, it says, "For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battlefield, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike." Our veterans sometimes tell me this: "I don't deserve anything, Doreen. I don't deserve it. I didn't go to battle. Give it to that guy. Give it to those people." No, they do. The scripture tells us, share and share alike. You all deserve it. You all signed on the dotted line for our freedom. Verse 25 says, "So it was from the day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day." All veterans deserve our respect, whether they served in peacetime or at war. We are the land of the free because of the brave. And if you are a veteran, can you please stand up today? I want you to look around the room. Maria Martinez served in the Korean War. There's men and women. Stay standing for a second. How many of you are veterans' widows? Is there any veterans' widows? Veterans' widows, yep. Yep. Because not only that, they have served our country by helping their husbands or wives when they've come home. How many are a child of a veteran? Your dad or your mom was a veteran. Stand up. I love that. You put your hands up way back there. That your parents loved you so much, but you probably had to travel around. You probably had to hear the drill sergeant voice. You probably had to hear the arguing because you didn't understand what they went through. But whenever you need to know what it was, and you never asked your parents, then ask one of these people, because we're your family and we love you. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm just going to pray us out and just give a blessing. Thank you all for letting me share this story. I hope it touched your heart and you'll be able to share it with a veteran one day or a family member or maybe your grandson or granddaughter. Dear Jesus, I just want you to touch everyone's heart. If there's anyone in here today, just have them put their hand on their heart. If they're watching live stream, put their hand on their heart so all of us can say together that we ask Jesus for forgiveness, that we believe he's the Son of God, that we want him to wash us clean, that we want him to make us anew, so that one day we will be in eternity with him. We love you, Lord. We give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.